Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Renaissance Gayrimenkul Yatırım, I would like to welcome all of you to our Capital Markets Day. Thank you for joining us today, both here in person and via webcast. My name is Handan Saygın. I'm the Chief Investor Relations Officer of Renaissance Holding, and it's my pleasure to moderate today's event. Today's program is designed to provide you with a comprehensive update on our strategy, operational performance, growth outlook, and capital allocation priorities. Our leadership team will share detailed insights into how we're positioning the company to deliver sustainable long-term value. We will begin with opening remarks from our chairperson, followed by presentations from members of the executive team, and we will conclude with a Q&A session. Before we begin, please note that today's event is being recorded and webcast live. A replay and presentation materials will be available on our company website under Investor Relations tab. It's now my great pleasure to introduce our chairperson, İpek Ilıcak Kayalp, who will open today's event. İpek joined Renaissance Holding in 2006, about 20 years ago, bringing over 25 years of leadership experience in finance, investments, and strategic growth. Prior to becoming chairperson, she served as executive board member and head of treasury. Under her leadership, the group has significantly strengthened its governance, strategic direction, and long-term value creation. She also serves on the board of the Renaissance Education Foundation and the UNICEF Turkey Business Advisory Board. So, welcome, İpek.
Dear investors, analysts, and colleagues, welcome to RGY's Capital Markets Day. We truly appreciate your interest in our company. Today, we will share our financial performance, our outlook, and strategy. As chairperson of the board, I would like to highlight one key message. RGY is guided by strong governance, disciplined decision-making, and a clear commitment to sustainable shareholder value. Women represent 50% of our board. One-third of our directors are independent. Our portfolio generates stable, recurring cash flow. This protects us in downturns and gives us financial flexibility. We generate more than 150 million euro in free cash flow each year. In recent years, we have been tested repeatedly by COVID, regulatory changes, devastating earthquakes, and economic volatility. These were real stress tests, and each time we proved the strength of our model. Our resilience is not a claim, it's a track record. Looking ahead, the macro environment is becoming more supportive as inflation and interest rates decline. With our strong portfolio, low leverage, and inflation-protected revenues, RGY is not only well-positioned, we are ready for the opportunity. Let me highlight what defines our investment case. RGY is Turkey's leading commercial real estate company. Our income is largely inflation-protected. We have delivered consistent growth, even in high inflation environments. Our revenues are based on recurring cash flow. We benefit from long-term tenant relationships and high occupancy. As you know, new mall supply remains very limited, and this reduces the competition and strengthens the value of our assets. Operational excellence sets us apart. Our experienced management team combines deep local knowledge with the international standards. We maintain a conservative balance sheet. Our loan-to-value ratio is below 15%, and this low leverage ensures resilience and strategic flexibility. As market conditions normalize, we expect our strong fundamentals to be reflected in our valuation. We initiated dividend last year, and we are committed to a sustainable and growing dividend policy. RGY operates 12 shopping malls and 4 office assets. We support more than 28,000 jobs, and we welcome 114 million visitors each year. All our assets have BREEAM-INUS Outstanding Certification is the highest possible level in sustainable asset management, and only 1% of BREEAM certified buildings worldwide ever reach this level. And BR Renaissance is the first and only real estate portfolio in the world to achieve its at a portfolio level. Women represent 60% of our workforce, and supported by strong ESG governance and ISO certified systems that ensure safety, transparency, and consistency. We are advancing our decarbonization roadmap through smart building technologies, on-site solar investments, and renewable energy supply agreements. By 2030, our portfolio operates fully on renewable electricity. And water sustainability is another priority for us. Turkey faces water stress, and so we have declared this year as a water year, and we are taking concrete steps to reduce water use and improve efficiency. At the same time, our strong ESG performance gives us access to sustainability-linked financing on attractive terms and gives us a financial flexibility. So our priority is to build a resilient, high-quality business that delivers consistent and sustainable earnings over time. On behalf of the board, I would like to thank our team, our partners, and our investors for their trust and their support. And thank you for your time and attention. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ilacak, for those insightful opening remarks. Next speaker will be Sercan Yüksel, member of the board of directors. Sercan joined Renaissance Holding in 2010 and currently serves as Group CFO for Turkey Investments. He has extensive experience in finance and real estate, having led the group's real estate financial operations for the last 12 years. He also has over a decade of board experience across several Renaissance companies. Please welcome Sercan Yüksel.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Sercan Yüksel. I am board member at Renaissance Gayrimenkul Yatırım. Before we move into presentation, I would like to summarize who we are, how we create value, and how our business model works. In the next slides, could you please move on to portfolio? Thank you. This slide shows our portfolio map. Renaissance Gayrimenkul Yatırım is a leading commercial real estate investment and development platform in Turkey. Our portfolio has 12 shopping malls and 4 office properties across the cities. We also manage more than 750,000 square meter GLA in our portfolio. We almost built this portfolio from the scratch, finding a location, designing, construction, leasing, all of them make internal sources. The approach makes us sure that we are in a prime location, consumer and tenant-friendly design, and best tenant mix. With these factors, our malls are dominant, and all of them have easy access to public transportation and enough car parking space areas for the visitors. These dominant malls and hands-on active management differentiate us in the sector and brings us good financial results in this year. On the next slide, I would like to highlight some KPIs. Our net asset value has reached 3.1 billion net assets based on latest financials, and our NOI has reached 212 million euros according to our latest financials. It means that 22% like-for-like growth in euro terms and 27% non-like-for-like growth. One important point here is that all the income stems from recurring income. There is no one-off item here. So we think that it's a sustainable income. Also, occupancy cost ratio, OCR, shows that sustainability. It is 9.2% now. OCR is a very important metric in real estate. A lower OCR provides resilience during economic volatility, also indicates 20% to 30% potential increase over the midterm on the rents. While average CPI is 35%, average sector is below as 30%. Our tenants in our malls has achieved 38% turnover growth, so we differentiate from the market around 8%. This change comes from, as mentioned, hands-on approach management, best tenant mix, and friendly design of the malls. This also occupancy rate, 99% and 140 million footfall result. These are also one of the highest track record in our company. On the shareholder side, Renaissance Holding as 68% is our main shareholder and operates a global investment group across more than 30 countries and multiple businesses, including construction, real estate, concessions, renewable energy, and industrial investment. GIC with 14%, it is the sovereign fund of the Singapore, has been our partner since 2012. GIC contributes us international asset management expertise and strong corporate governance discipline into the company. Our free float has increased to 16%. This level helps to improve trading liquidity and attracting new institutional investors. As İpek Hanım mentioned, sustainability also one of our core priorities. All of our assets has outstanding BREEAM certifications, and we have signed a renewable energy agreement with Renaissance Energy to obtain green electricity across the portfolio in next year. Next slide, we will show the key driver shareholder value. Our value creation is built four pillars. The first three items shows first pillar, organic earnings growth. Although we are a property owner, our revenue model differs from a traditional landlord. We have a dynamic lease structure with indexation to CPI and tenant sales turnover and recurring revenues. We don't passively collect rent. We actively manage our assets and with asset and leasing team to retain best basket of consumer brands. Also, low OCR levels support future rental growth potential, as mentioned before. The last one in this pillar is high entry barrier. We see structural entry barrier to the sector due to lack of sizable land, especially in prime cities, high construction costs, and long development timelines. These factors will keep the supply limited while demand is still strong by increasing number of households. Second pillar is selective growth strategy. We focus value accretive growth through strategic high quality acquisitions and developments. Last year, we bought 50% of Optum İzmir and Optum Ankara, and also we continue to develop multiple projects, residential project and multiple office projects last year. For the next year, we are looking for opportunity of acquisitions and developments in that aspect. Third pillar is strong cash generation and financial discipline. The company generates 150 million euro free cash flow in 2025. It was 66 million last year. So the calculation of this free cash flow, NOI minus interest expense, minus corporate tax, minus capex. Also, we maintain very strong balance sheet with low leverage levels. Net debt EBITDA decreased to 2.5 times, interest coverage at 6.5 times, and LTV is around 14%. Maybe you may remember in our previous presentation in the Europe, it's around 40%. Cash yield of the company last year was 17 17% in euro terms. The calculation is free cash flow divided by market cap at the year end. So this high, so we believe that this high double-digit cash yield indicates significant discount on the current market valuation, because there isn't any many companies in the Turkey has generated 70% euro terms just for a year. Last pillar is dividend distribution. We distribute 12 million euros, which was the maximum amount permitted under statutory account last year. As you know, we will continue to merge SPVs into the main company. We expect dividend distribution capacity increase after mergers, so we committed to progressively grow on the dividends. So this briefly summarizes our platform, business model, and value creation approach. With that, I would like to over the management team who will present the operational and financial details. Thank you very much for your attention today.
Thank you, Sercan, for your brief introduction to Rönesans Gayrimenkul Yatırım and the key pillars of our long-term shareholder value creation. Our next speaker is Yağmur Yaşar, CEO of Rönesans Real Estate. Yağmur joined the company in 2018 and has served as the CEO since 2020. The last 6 years, he brings more than 30 years of experience across real estate investment, development, finance, and management, including senior leadership roles in both Turkish and international organizations. He also serves on the boards of GEODER, the Real Estate Investments Association, and AYD, the Council of Shopping Centers. So please join me in welcoming Yağmur Yaşar.
Thank you, Anna. Thank you. Thank you very much. First, I would like to start with Rönesans Real Estate Investments is a real estate investment company, of course, but it's operating in a retail world. The retail market in Turkey is probably most of you are aware, but it's a big sector. So it's almost when we look at the household consumptions, we calculate that the total household retail consumption is around 180 billion euros in Turkey. So from this 180 billion euros, our shopping centers, the tenant sales of our shopping centers is around 2.5. So we are representing, in a way, 1.5% of retail market in Turkey. So this is important because real estate is a static business. You know, it's not very much depending on alternative market conditions, but ours is more focused on retail. We also have offices, but majority, the dominance of the portfolio is shopping centers, in which we have more than 2,000 tenants operating in various sectors. So coming to the real estate side, the brick and mortar, there are almost 450 shopping centers in Turkey. So shopping center definition by ICSC, International Council of Shopping Centers, is the centers with more than 5,000 square meter GLA, gross leasable area, and more than one tenant. So one box of IKEA is not considered as a shopping center. It needs to have a checkout mall and some other units inside. Depending on that definition, the total number of shopping centers is monitored by AYD. It's around 450. From this 450, we have 12 centers. And when we look at these 450, we know that most of them are small centers. As I mentioned, the definition puts that as long as it's more than 5,000 square meters, it's a shopping center. So when we take the real centers that we would consider as, you know, as in line with our portfolio, we would consider more than 35,000 square meters. And we see that 140 centers are more than 35,000 square meters. So in retail, we are 1.5%. In total, you know, shopping center environment, we are slightly less than 3%. But when we look at the real shopping centers, we are something like 8% of the market. So the market has stabilized in terms of number of shopping centers and retail space. As you see here, there's a so-called plateau, and there are not new, you know, supply. So it seems that the retail space will stay limited for the retailers who are trying to expand their business throughout the country. This is supported by, you know, in the last after the pandemic, we calculate the growth rate of, you know, shopping centers is around 5%, whereas the household numbers has increased from 24 million to almost 27 million in the same period. The number of households is increasing, so the retail space is actually scarce, I would say. So we expect the strong retailers' demand for proper retail space to stay strong in the coming years also. Looking at the performance and occupancy, we see that the fundamentals, the market fundamentals, are supporting the performance and occupancy. Looking at the, you know, footfall is very important. Footfall is like blood in the vein for us. So when footfall is in good terms, you know, our performance is better, of course. The market footfall is again followed by, you know, Shopping Center Association of Turkey. And our footfall is the black line. So when we compare with the previous year, our variance is outperforming the performance of the sector. So we are good in terms of blood in the vein. We are good in terms of footfall. We are also, as Handan mentioned, I've been in this business for 3 decades. I didn't see these occupancy levels in my previous life. So we are fully occupied, and we are trying to improve the performance in this fully occupied portfolio. Tenant sales, of course, supported by number of visitors and supported with our asset management initiatives. I will give more explanation in the coming section. Tenant sales is again outperforming the sector averages. When we compare with the previous year, we see that the inflation is the green line. Our averages are staying above the green line, so it's above the inflation. As Sercan Bey has mentioned, it's around 35%, whereas the orange, we have put this in red, but it seems orange here, okay? Orange line is the sector turnover. We are again outperforming the market averages. We are better than the sector. Here on the right, we have the OCR level. OCR, as Sercan Bey has briefly mentioned, is the occupancy cost ratio, the occupancy cost ratio is the total amount of rent plus total amount of common area management cost that the tenant is paying divided by the turnover of the tenant. So it shows us the affordability of rents and common area management costs. Historically, it's around 12%. Following the pandemic, we know that there had been some supply chain problems, some material cost increases, etc. We know that their margin has decreased, but we can easily say that 12% up to 13% of OCR levels are sustainable. This shows that when we consider the balance sheet of the tenants, the rent plus the common area management cost that the tenant is paying is lower than it used to be in the previous years in percentage terms. So this gives us the flexibility to increase the rents for tenants. Of course, office is an important element in Renaissance real estate's portfolio. We have four office buildings, as İpek Hanım mentioned, and they are fully occupied. We know that in Istanbul, as compared with European countries or European cities, the total office space suitable in terms of quality, in terms of earthquake, it's far less as compared to European peers. So we know that there's a strong demand for office. We cannot find space to accommodate some important companies. So we know that the office demand from tenants will stay strong in the coming years as well. So it's important for us. Of course, as Sercan Bey mentioned, we have base rents plus turnover rents in retail. However, in offices, we do not have turnovers, so we only have base rents. And in Turkey, the regulation limits the house landlord to increase rents. It's regulated, so every 5 years we can go to the court and state that it's below the market rent, etc. But in the 2022, it started with €4 million, and we ended at 2025 with more than €11 million. So we still have a room there. We know that we are still below market rates. This is not a market rate. This is a prime rent in Levant area. Our offices are more towards the real industry or shipping companies, more international brands in Maltepe. So we are around $25-$30. This is Levant area. So we know that we have a room. We are fully utilizing our asset management team to increase the rents to where the potential is waiting for us. So I would like to touch the points where we are differentiating from the competitors. I would summarize them under three pillars, as Sercan Bey was summarizing. So first, where is Baki, our head of asset management? He told me that you should look at your handouts in these pages. So first, we are fully utilizing international asset management standards in the company. I would easily say that we are agile and we are adapting the market conditions, we are adapting the regulations changes, we are adapting, you know, in Turkey you have to be resilient and agile, otherwise it's not easy. So we have an excellent, you know, technology platform which we are using as management systems. It's fully integrated. It starts with, you know, defining the ERVs, you know, expected rental values for each store, and sending, you know, proposals to tenants. From there, following up, you know, managing the contracts, managing the receivables, invoicing, turnover, follow-up, all the category analysis, all the tenant comparisons, all the shopping center comparisons are made through these management systems. So it's valuable. I can easily say that it's more comprehensive than, you know, probably some of you may know, you know, there are asset management softwares like Argus or Manhattan or others, or the ECE is using. Ours is more comprehensive and more integrated. We are not done with it yet. We are now integrating AI tools and intelligent agents. I think Baki asked me to look at these words because those are terminologies. You know, with these intelligent agents, now we are still upgrading this service. We will be able to promptly, you know, understand any anomalies, any uncompliances. It's important. So all plans, all the, you know, KPIs are determined annually, and if necessary, we are able to update them every quarter. So based on our, you know, we have a big data composed of 2,000 tenants. So we trust our data analysis and KPI performance systems. We are checking each tenant's situation based on, you know, our KPI-driven data analysis. We have a good and excellent team of talented professionals who are striving and, you know, relentlessly working on where we can make improvements, which tenants are not performing, which tenants are weak performing. So how we can improve those or how we can replace those. Everybody on site and in the headquarters are talented, and again, they have their objectives, and they are moving with their objectives. Of course, last but definitely not the least, our shopping centers are, you know, professionally designed in terms of function, in terms of customer friendliness, in terms of accessibility, location, visibility. All the real estate fundamentals are strongly integrated in design and development of our centers. So I would never skip the importance of, you know, proper design and functional centers, which are continuously attracting customers' attention. So we have the good system in place. And we have the, you know, efficient execution, of course. We have dynamic retail management. We are not passive shopping center managers. We are retail managers now. Our center managers, our leasing team, our asset management team, all had their, you know, retail, you know, trainings in the past 2-3 years. They, each of them had at least 100 hours of retail training. So We developed a checklist, I would say. We are checking 95 points in each store, so that, I mean, it goes from, you know, using the Powerwall, it goes from, you know, the showcase, the spot products, this stock, the, you know, personnel, their presentation and their information about the product. Every detail is checked by our center managers. So, as you are aware, real estate is local business. So we have a good system in the headquarters, but we have a very strong team in the centers who are continuously checking the performance of the centers in terms of their stock, in terms of their pricing, in terms of their visual merchandising, and you know, human resources, etc. So this is bringing a differentiation. Combined with the observations on site and the results of the analysis with the synthesis, we continuously check which tenants are performing well, which tenants are weak performance, which tenants should be replaced, which tenants could be improved by simply touching some points. So again, this is a very active phase where the leasing team fully collaborates with the local center managers, and we try to optimize the performance of all of our malls. As mentioned before, turnover is important. The tenants' turnover, we are almost one-third of our total rental revenue is generated by tenant turnovers. So we are continuously auditing the turnovers of the tenants so that, I mean, in case of any non-compliance, in case of any, you know, wrong information or mismanagement, we act immediately. Of course, when we face with Baki, I'm not looking at those answers. So when we get results from the turnover, from, you know, shop observation checklist, when we get the information, combine it, make a synthesis with the central data analysis, we sometimes we have to go to, you know, legal proceedings with some tenants. As I mentioned, the regulation in Turkey is tenant friendly. That's why we have limited tools to evict any tenant in case of, you know, non-performing or weak performing situations, but we definitely use legal proceedings efficiently. I'm not gonna mention about how many tenants we are in court with, but in order to catch up with the ERVs, we sometimes, more than sometimes, I would say, have to go to legal proceedings. Of course, combined with the, you know, tenant objected, you know, actions and executions, we consider the clients, the customers also. The shopping center visitors are our guests. So we make, you know, strategic marketing and communication to explain the positioning of our centers and to attract the customer profile that we think best matching with our center. This is done for each shopping center differently. We are doing, you know, focus group studies, you know, questionnaires, and analyzing the feedback from customers, from information from call centers, and this is very adaptive. Dilşat is here, so she's managing this diligently. With this system, with the execution, we got the result. So we are sometimes changing, sometimes advising the tenants to make some changes, and we are, sometimes making some, structural variations so that we maximize the rental income. With the audits, we avoid any leakage in turnover income. So we, within this business world of Renaissance Gayrimenkul, the tenants are also happy. They want to hear from us about our, store observations, about our advices in terms of when we make, category analysis. We see that some of the brands are not performing. Some of them think that they are performing very well, but when we show them their competitors, they understand their situation and they try to make some changes. So they want to be in this business environment. That's why we have a waiting list in almost all of our centers, but we are trying to get the best match for customer and retailers. So we are keen on working more on the performance and analysis to guide the leasing team in leasing to the tenants, which are selected by the asset management. So we have the highest occupancy. When we look at internationally, we know that this occupancy is far higher. When we look at Turkey, we know that the occupancy of shopping centers are at high levels, higher levels as compared to Europe or America. But occupancy is not enough. The performance, the efficiency, and effectiveness is more important. So although we follow occupancy, it's not the major concern these days. We are enjoying the highest occupancies in history. So if the tenants, employees are behaving well, if we have the good marketing, if we have the right tenant mix, the customers are visiting the centers knowing that they would find what they want, knowing that they would have their visiting experience would be an experience. So our customer loyalty has increased based on our questionnaires and focus group studies. Of course, the tenants do not delay their payments, and because it gives one another tool to evict them, that's why they prefer to pay on time. We do not have any late, or we do not have any bad debts, very, very limited. They are keen on paying within the first 10 days of the month, so we have very strong cash collections. And of course, with these, we have outperforming operational net income figures. So, Handan Hanım, we have discussed about these, but I think we covered most of them. Here, I mentioned about our analysis and follow up. This is one example that we are doing regularly. Some of the categories, we have around 20 categories here, from department stores to women's apparel, food court, etc. These are the main categories that we follow. We have, of course, subcategories, and then brands, and then, you know, shopping centers. But breakdown continues with what, I mean, with details, whatever. We know that our performance is good, but we know which categories are not performing. I did not put here the brands, but I preferred to put the, you know, categories instead. Some of the categories are inferior just because of some brands, but I don't want to, you know, mention the retail brands here. Here, for example, we know that the dashed line is the inflation, so it's around 35%. The orange columns show slightly or below, you know, inflation, which are hypermarket, DIY, it's okay. DIY is not doing well. Although number of households is increasing, DIY is not doing well in Turkey. It doesn't have a significant weight in our portfolio, homeware and bulky goods. Sportswear is important, I would say. It seems significantly below the inflation rate, but sports brands had expanded, you know, extensively, I would say, because they opened too many stores and they cannibalize each other. That's why the sportswear seems inferior performing. The others are okay. When we look at the good performing ones, you see that underwear is good. I mean, children is good. You know, I think this may be due to, you know, meat prices, etc. We do not have too many. The weight is not significant here. Cafe, bakery, food and beverage is performing well, I would say. And, you know, personal care, pharmacy, cosmetics is one of the best performers. Jewelry, due to the price, of course, is one of the best performers. This is, I mean, we are monitoring in our analysis. And for example, we are when we look at here, we tell the leasing team that if they have a sportswear brand that they would like to lease, we say the asset management says prefer another category. So which category? I mean here bluntly, I would say underwear is performing. I mean, instead of opening a, you know, Adidas, opening an Oysho is much better these days. So the asset management is guiding the leasing team based on this kind of information. We will have a Q&A session after the presentation, but I mean, if you have any questions personally also in the coffee break, I would be happy to answer. These are the top 10 brands in our portfolio. Brands, of course, Inditex is a retail group. You know, they have 6-7 brands under their name. So when we look at the their weights in our total income, we do not see any dominance. So we have a well-distributed tenant base in our shopping centers, which means in case one tenant may go bankrupt or one tenant may decide to get out of Turkey, we will not have a significant impact. So we are managing a portfolio of retailers with the best performance criteria that asset management is following. And that's why we think that we are resilient in any, you know, retailer bankruptcy or retailers' different situations. This shows that there is no dominance of one brand in our portfolio. Probably you know, I mean, in text, but we give more explanation about some of the other brands here. 27% of our brands or groups are, you know, international. Of course, we have Turkish international groups like Asiwakiki, Mavi, you know, De Facto. They are also, you know, they are international. But we think that it's also well balanced. I mean, international foreign retailers are represented by 27% in our portfolio. It's okay. Here we put some, you know, recent leasings. We have, you know, fancy brands like Moncler or, you know, Tommy Hilfiger, etc. But here I would like to emphasize that BKM Mutfak Atelier, this is first of its kind, or Mekwan. These shows that shopping centers are not only for shopping anymore. They are for, you know, having a good time, for leisure, entertainment, sports, culture. They are supported, you know, with these activities, and customers appreciate this kind of, you know, spaces in our shopping centers. That's why we try to accommodate more culture or more sports or more entertainment in our centers. When we consider about, you know, entertainment, of course, cinema is important. But as you know, following the pandemic, the cinema visitors has decreased substantially. To give you the numbers, I mean, it used to be around 6 to 7% of total number of visitors has visited the cinemas in the pre-pandemic period, whereas it's now 2%, even less than 2%. So more than half of the capacity of cinemas are, you know, idle. That's why in the last 2-3 years we have downsized the cinemas and accommodated, you know, sports or some other stores besides the cinemas, so that we can improve the performance and, you know, customer expectations. We have developments and investments. In our previous meetings, we had mentioned about our project in Maltepe. We have one, you know, residential and one office development in Maltepe Park land. It's our shopping center is located around, you know, 71,000 square meters of land, and we put, you know, one office on the main roadside and one residential block on the park side, and we finished the you know concrete works and, you know, some divisioning works of the residential blocks, and we started selling them in October. Although we did not make advertisement, or, you know, we did not push too much, 41 units has been already sold out of 230. We think that following April, we are expecting a decrease in interest rates, of course, the decrease in interest rates would, you know, encourage customers to buy more house, and it would increase the number of households which would support our centers. We are optimistically waiting for, you know, the decrease in interest rates. And at the same time, we are, although not very actively, we are selling, we already started selling the centers. It's not very expensive. I would welcome if any of you would like to do something. As the CEO, if I may have something, I would use it for you. The office is on the E5 side. So as I explained in the office section, there's a strong demand for the office in Istanbul due to earthquake, due to, you know, availability of existing space. We are also doing, you know, we also had a multiple piazza office there, which we fully, you know, leased or sold out now. Cemalettin Bey is here. He's also helping us in dealing with multiple piazza office. Now this this office would, you know, would fit to the market demand in terms of height, in terms of, you know, light, in terms of size, in terms of accessibility, parking areas, and convenience as being close to, you know, ports or production or the real economy sites. So again, we are optimistic about this. I'm receiving every other week some calls that can we get one block? Can we get one block? We will see. We started the, you know, actually we completed the piling works for this office, and now we are starting the foundation works. These were the ongoing developments. As Sercan Bey mentioned, actually we have completed two investments, significant investments, which you know, contributed to our, you know, year-end results for 2025. We purchased, you know, 50% of İzmir Optimum and Ankara Optimum shopping centers, which were owned by GIC previously. So it's bringing an upside in the way that since we have been managing these centers, we know all the details about these, and we did not increase our management team even with one person. So the ongoing operation continues. The added value is high. All the details have been previously announced, so I'm not going into detail there. We have some land plots. One is in Antalya. Probably you know the aquarium in Konyaaltı. It's just next to it. It's more than 130,000 square meters of land, and we will develop a center with open areas and more entertainment culture and something like Hilltown projects in Karşıyaka or Küçükyalı. Again, the GLA will be more than 60,000 square meters, of course. The other one, the land is in Ümraniye. It's just next to, you know, Meydan Shopping Center. So it's a, you know, 23,000-24,000 square meters of land, which we co-own with Doğan Group. For these centers, for this one, we already initiated the, you know, administrative procedures. We are following the necessary procedures for getting the zoning and the permit. For the Ümraniye land, again, this area has been announced by the Istanbul Greater Municipality to make a rezoning zone. So we are waiting for the Greater Municipality to complete their rezoning in Ümraniye. Following that, we trust that we will get an FAR floor to area ratio of 1.5, and both residential and commercial use will be allowed. So we are following these lands, as well as we are looking for alternative investment opportunities in the market. So, are we there?
Thank you, Yağmur Yaşar, for the clear overview of the market landscape. I'm swallowing, sorry. And the strength of our differentiated real estate business. We will now take a short coffee break. The meeting will resume 11:30, let's say, sharp, when we will continue with our presentation on financial results and guidance. We kindly ask you to return to the room in advance so that we can start on time at 11:30. And following the presentation, we will conclude with a Q&A session. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. I hope you had a refreshing break. We will continue with the presentation of our financial results and guidance. It's my pleasure to introduce Sinan Tekol, the Chief Financial Officer, who will lead the session. Sinan joined Renaissance Real Estate in year 2017 and has served as CFO for the last 3 years. He's a CFA charter holder and has over a decade of experience in finance and banking, having begun his career in corporate banking at a local bank. Yes, welcome. Welcome, Sinan.
Thank you, Andana, and welcome all. Today, I would like to go through first our historical key financial performance indicators, the growth and the key drivers behind our NOI growth, and our solid balance sheet, strong cash flow generation capacity, and also finally go through the our 2026 outlook. Before diving into our financials, first I would like to emphasize that the figures provided here is includes Optimum İzmir and Ankara acquisitions full year effects, and also Turkish lira denominated figures given in is inflation indexed adjusted to end of 2025 purchasing power. When you look at our net operating income growth, in the last 4 years, the compounded average growth rate for in euro terms is 35%, and in Turkish lira, it is above inflation 25%. And it reaches now, as we Sercan Bey previously mentioned, about 200 million euro net operating income, which is very similar to EBITDA. Our asset value continues to increase. It now reaches the 3.6 billion euro and indicated a 62% increase with respect to 2022 years, mainly driven by valuation gains and also the effect of our acquisitions. In the past, we continuously delivered the company, and last year we achieved to decrease our indebtedness to 500 million euro level. And from the 2022, it implies a 36% decrease. Despite two acquisitions, a continuing development project, and also dividend distribution, we were able to keep the net debt amount broadly stable, thanks to our free cash flow generation capacity, which I will go through shortly. Increasing operating profitability, expanding asset base, And with the deleveraging, our equity, we created a strong equity story and increased our net asset value from 1.4 billion to 3.1 billion euro as end of 2027. When we come to the main drivers behind our operational income, first 20 million euro of this increase comes from the indexation profile of our contractual agreements based on the last 12 months average CPI. So frankly, this comes from passive growth. But 14 million euro increase in the last year of our NOI comes from the active asset management measures, which in detail mentioned by Yağmur Bey, like releasing, redevelopments, and also negotiations in our existing contracts. This brings us to 190 million euro of NOI, like-for-like basis. And when considering the macro assumptions we have shared last year in our guidance are almost fully materialized, we also outperformed our budget figure and also our guidance this year. In addition to that, the acquisition, the positive incremental effect of our acquisitions made in Optimum İzmir and Ankara increased our net operating income 22 million euro and brings us to 212 million euro net operating income as end of this year. In order to demonstrate our real growth in both Turkish lira and also in euro terms, we made an analysis to and compare both NOI growth and CPI and also the euro exchange rate with respect to 2022. As you may clearly see, our NOI has consistently outperformed both CPI and also exchange rate, offering a real growth for the investors. This is not inflation indexed. This is nominal figure. when we come to our balance sheet structure, with deleveraging in the loan amount, in decreasing interest rates globally, and also reducing our interest rate margins, effectively reduced our interest expenses from 75 million euro 2 years ago to 32 million euro as of this year, which implies a 57% reduction in our cost of funding. And also it enables us to increase our interest coverage ratio from 1.5 times to 6.4 times right now, which is very rare in our sector worldwide. Between 2018 and until 2024, the deleveraging is the core strategy of this company. But after achieving these low leverage levels like 14% LTV and 2.5 times net debt to EBITDA, still deleveraging is one of our main pillars, but now we are focusing on dividend distributions and also selective value-added investment opportunities as well with the, our cash flow. At the same time, we also increased the average maturity profile of our loan portfolio, which was 2.9% last year. Now we increased it with these refinancings made within this year to 3.5 years. And also our liquidity stands at 186 million euro. So comparing to the previous years before the offering of the company to the public, we are operating with a strong balance sheet and solid liquidity, which gives us comfort with risk management measures. When we come to the what ultimately matters most, the free cash flow of the company, This year, our interest expense was, as I mentioned, 32 million euro. Our capital expenditures like 9 million euro. 15 million corporate tax paid, and 6 million comes from other expenditures like gen admin and selling marketing. After deducting these figures from our NOI, we reached a 150 million euro annual free cash flow generation capacity, which implies 17% cash yield mentioned by Sercan Bey at the beginning of the presentation. This 150 million euro free cash flow enables us to fund dividend distributions, selective value accretive, value added investment and development projects, and also further deleveraging if needed. When we compare this free cash flow generation capacity with last year's figures, we increased our NOI 34 million euro, which I mentioned in the previous slides. 20 comes from CPI indexation and 14 comes from active asset management. 22 million comes from Izmir and Ankara acquisitions. And 26 million euro comes from the reduction of our cost of funding. And a slight plus and minus changes in CAPEX and other expenses. So we can say that we have increased almost 2.5 times of our free cash flow generation capacity in the last year. Finally, before closing, I would like to talk about our 2026 outlook. With the macro assumptions given here, we assumed year-end euro exchange rate will be 60, which corresponds to 56 on the average of year. We also assumed year-end CPI to be around 23, and also for the year average, 26. 27%. Based on these assumptions, we are expecting our net operating income to increase 280 million euro, which implies that we are still continuing to create real growth with our existing portfolio, which supported by these key drivers, we are going to make active asset management in the next year as well. We have budgeted 140 leasing operations in order to offer this growth in our NOI. We expect tenant sales to move in line with CPI. We do not expect or assume any real growth in tenant sales. Stable occupancy and footfall, we are almost reached our highest levels. Higher additional revenues from kiosk advertising and etc. And full year contribution effect of the operations, leasing operations already made in 2025. Also, please note that this guidance do not include any disposal or acquisition. This is a like-for-like comparison with our existing portfolio. And the good news, in the January, the tenant sales continue to grow above inflation, which I mentioned. We assume it will be in line with CPI. In January, tenant sales increased by 41% in our shopping centers, while CPI was 30%. So before closing, I would say that ahead of 2026, we are expecting a good year, and the organic growth in our portfolio still be our core strategy. And in addition to that, we are looking ahead for good opportunistic acquisitions and progressively increasing dividend distributions. Thank you all for your time and participation. Now I will handle the floor to Handan'ın.
Thank you, Sinan, for clearly presenting Rönesans Gayrimenkul Yatırım's 2025 financial results and our guidance for the year. We will now begin the Q&A session. First, we will take questions from participants joining us online. Please submit your questions to the webcast platform. Rafael, would you please direct our participants online as to how they can voice their questions?
Yes, dear webcast participants, if you would like to ask a voice question, please use the webcast interface. You can raise your hand by clicking on the Ask via Audio button. You can also submit written questions. We'll just give a moment or so for any questions from the web participants to come in.
Given the time difference, London and New York, it's they probably are looking forward for the replay of the webcast.
Yes, we currently don't have any questions from the webcast participants, so we'll give floor back to you, Handan.
Okay, thank you, Rafael. So there are no questions online. So thank you to all participants who joined us virtually and for your for the attendance, for your time. This concludes the webcast portion of today's Capital Markets Day. As I said, a replay of this session will be made available on our website under the IR tab. And on behalf of Renaissance Real Estate, we will now, we thank you for your time, for coming here.